There is a position in baseball called the closer. And what does a closer do? They don't play a lot of baseball, a lot of innings. They don't throw a ton of pitches, but they are called upon at the end of the game, usually the last inning, to shut the other team down. They're expected to throw really fast fastballs. They don't need much endurance because it's only for one inning, but untouchable fastballs and then accurate breaking balls that cannot be hit, that are going to be strikes to end the game. They are someone that is going to be good under pressure and know how to deal with stress because the other team is desperate and wants to get some hits and some people on base. I bring up the closer in that kind of a mentality because I think the mindset Paul is showing us and encouraging us to have is similar to that of a closer. You think of the closer, they've done nothing in the previous eight innings to contribute towards their team's success. They are riding on the momentum of what's happened before them. And isn't it similar for us as followers of Jesus? We are in a really good position. Christ is risen. He has defeated death. Our graves will not hold us. Our bodies will not see decay forever. They will be given back to us whole and healthy. We are victorious. Our sins are not held against us. We carry around the perfection of Jesus. God the Father loves us. We have the full rights of children of God, of citizens of heaven. We could not be in a better position, but we still have life left until heaven. Like the closer has that inning left. And like the closer, we can expect those final innings to be grueling, to be stressful, to not be easy. But where is that pitcher throwing the balls? The catcher. And do you know who's actually calling the shots between that duo? Not the pitcher. The catcher is making the signs and making the decisions on what the pitcher should throw next. And I think it's a lot like that with us in Christ. There Christ is at the finish line calling the shots, telling us how to live out the rest of our days in a meaningful way. And that's what this series has been all about. A call to all-in discipleship, being all-in on following Jesus, the one who has been all-in for us. And so in the spirit of the words the Holy Spirit put down for us today in Philippians chapter 3, I say to you, press on, because you are called and because you are kept in Christ Jesus. Paul had the credibility to write these words. Because he is sitting there as he writes this letter to the Philippians in prison under house arrest in Rome. And yet that does not stop him from working for Christ and advancing the gospel. But we don't only see that all-in mentality in him. There's a special relationship between him and this church, the Philippians, because we see it in them too. I already mentioned they were known for being people of a blue-collar people, didn't make very much money, endured poverty, and yet they were super generous, giving to Paul's mission to churches beyond Philippi and others' focused mentality. But not only that did they give of their resources, they sent him one of their best members. His name's Epaphroditus. They say, hey, Paul, we're sending you this guy. He is your assistant in prison. Whatever you need errands run, you need people visited, letters sent. You have bodily, physical needs that need to be tended to. This is your guy. And Epaphroditus serves so well, so hard, he actually gets sick and almost dies. But Paul sends him back now with this letter we're reading from, to the Philippians to show them Epaphroditus, he's okay, he's well, he's recovered. But Paul sends this letter to keep encouraging them so that they keep pressing on towards the goal, towards the finish line. The first thing he writes here we're going to look at, he says, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I want to remind you this morning of the call Jesus has made upon your life. Each one of you here. This is what we talk about when we say Jesus has brought us to faith. We did not seek him, right? He sought us. He initiated this relationship. He called us even before we ever called out to him. That's what the Bible says. It uses language kind of like this. We have been called from this to this. From unbelief to faith. From darkness to light. From the kingdom of Satan to the kingdom of God. From being outsiders to being family. From being hopeless to having hope in Christ. From living lives of misery to living lives of fullness. Living lives under the rule of fear to living life under God's peace. God has called you by name. You are His. He has written your name in the book of life. And you know the kind of people God calls? There's only one kind of person He calls. Sinners. People who are weak, like me and you. People who make foolish decisions. People who give in to temptation. People who doubt and have fears and anxieties. People who have stubborn hearts. People who get distracted. People who are inconsistent. Those are the kind of people God calls. And where does He call us? Heavenward in Christ Jesus. You know, it's been said, when you go to worship, you are being reminded of your inheritance. And I want to remind you of your inheritance this morning. Imagine you get a letter in the mail, and you rule it out. It's not a bill. It's not junk mail. All the details are correct. And it's unbelievable. Someone you barely know is leaving you their estate, their assets. Now you think to yourself, that'll never happen to me. No one will ever think of me that way. I don't get that lucky. I don't win the lottery. I don't win anything in life. Are you sure about that? Every single one of you here today has an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Every one of you has been called to be a child of God, a citizen of heaven. Every one of you has had your sins, they were blamed on Jesus, so that nothing stands between you and God. Every one of us has been made holy in God's sight. The perfection of Jesus has been placed upon us. You realize when God looks at you, He feels the same way about you that He feels about His perfect Son. You may not feel about yourself that way. Might feel miserable about yourself, but God loves you and delights in you and cherishes you. He's preparing a place right now for you in heaven. You have all the rights of a citizen of heaven, full access to God. No one of us here has more or less access to God through Jesus right now in prayer. You have a right that your body will not see decay forever, be raised again. You have a right that your life will go on after death. Your best days are yet to come. You have a future that is so unimaginably better than anything you could ever imagine, than your best day on earth. These are your rights. This is your inheritance. And the encouragement today that we're hearing is to live into that, is to lean into that. Is to live as if this is true and this inheritance belongs to us because it does. And not only have you been called, you are being kept in the faith. Paul puts it this way. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus has taken hold of me. Those Christ takes hold of, he does not let go of so easily. He does not forget about you. He does not forget your name. He doesn't let you slip between the cracks. His eye is always on you. Because that's the only way he does things. All in, 100% in. There's a beautiful hymn verse I want to read for you. I think it summarizes this truth of the Bible well. I think a lot of us can relate to how our faith wavers. Our determination wavers. It's not every single day we are feeling really on fire to read God's word and do what he says. But here's the truth anyways. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path. For my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. We can expect that our determination will be hot and then it will be cold. Our determination to follow Jesus will waver. It will not be easy. It will be a grind, an uphill climb, a battle as long as we're in this world. But we can also expect that Christ's grip on us will never let go. His determination will never waver. Did Christ give half of his effort when he was on this earth for you? He gave all of it. That's the only way he does things. Did Christ die for half of our sins or some of them and expect us to make up for the rest? No, he died for all of them. Does Christ want just part of you in heaven, the part of you that you kept aside for him on this earth? No, he wants the whole you in heaven, right? So why wouldn't he want the whole you, your whole heart, your whole life right now? That's how Christ is holding on to you. That's how Christ is working in your life, grinding it out with you, even on your worst days. And the call here that's really being made is look at how Christ is holding on to you. Hold on to him in that same way. You know, why does our church do a discipleship effort like this every year? We call it Follow Me at our church. A lot of other churches do this and call it different things, but it's really the same thing at the end of the day. It's because we want to be intentional about following Jesus and those areas he says that are important in his word. Do we want to grow apathetic in our faith? Do we want to put our faith on autopilot, like a self-driving car? Just expect it to reach its goal. Do we want to treat our faith like something that we really should maintain in our home, but we don't care about it all that much, so we stick it on the back burner? Do we want to treat our faith like things we put on the junk pile or in the junk drawer? No, none of us want to do that. And so as a church, at least once a year, we make this call. Hey, let's review those things the Bible says are important for every Christian to be doing from now until heaven. Let's look at our mindsets right now, where our focus is, and let's get them back on Jesus, back on our heavenward call, back on the finish line. And let's give each other resources and encouragement of how to do this. And let's look at God's word until he convinces us that this is important. You know, here's where it starts. That pledge all of you received. Christ doesn't just want 1 hour a month or 1 hour a week of you in worship. Christ doesn't just want you to serve your local church in one way. Christ doesn't just want a portion of your income for advancing his mission on earth. Christ wants all of you. So this is the starting point of what the Bible says. This is what followers of Jesus do. And so my encouragement for you today is all of us can find probably one of these categories that would be a quick win. I want you to go for that quick win as you finish filling this out and submit it online or in the box in the back. And you're doing this way of challenging yourself, of bringing this before God in prayer with the support of your church. It's like, you know what? I golf more than once a month. I watch more than one Brewers game a month. Boy, I'm coming to church once a month. It would be a quick win to really challenge myself to be there every other week. But then I also encourage you, after you find that quick win, go for that area of your life that where there's resistance. Where there you feel a lot of opposition, even frustration. And don't just sit with that frustration on your own. Bring it before God in prayer through this tool. And say, God, it's just hard for me even ever to open my Bible. I've never attended a Bible study in my life. God, it's hard for, I don't know how to share my faith. I'm a pretty private person about my faith. Show me how to do this. Show me people that are doing this. Show me examples. Give me faith to do this. Help me. If I'm being stubborn, I confess that sin. Show me in your word why this matters. And then help me do it, what you asked me to do. If it's sharing your faith, you know, maybe not all of us are to the point right now where we have a friend picked out, we have a family, we're ready to invite them to Starting Point that starts in June and sit with them in the class. And some of us are there and going to do that. Some of us can start with just praying for a friend who is far from God, who's fallen away, who is doubting God's promises. We don't even have to tell them yet. We could just pray for them. That's so powerful. And then once you're doing that, it's baby steps. Then you tell the friend, hey, I'm praying for you. I have never told someone I'm praying for you and then had them tell me back, please don't do that. I don't want your prayers. But then maybe you send them a little prayer. Or maybe you send them a snapshot of something that's been meaningful to you in God's word. And then maybe eventually you make the invite, you know, to come to worship or come to Starting Point. Paul says it this way in Philippians 3. One thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining towards what is ahead. One thing. What one thing could be more important for you as an individual, as a family, than growing in these areas of following Jesus? Not only does Jesus command us to be doing these things, he attaches so many blessings to these areas for us in our faith and for others around us as we grow in these ways of following Jesus. Paul says it this way, forgetting what's behind us. As we get older, sometimes we focus so much on the past. I'm going to call them the glory days or the gloomy days. And so much of our focus can be there, we forget to look at the opportunities God has for us right now. You know, the glory days, sometimes we're just so sad those are behind us. Our best days seem to be gone, never to come back. The gloomy days, what other people have done to us in life, how life hasn't turned out the way we want it, disappointment. Paul says, hey, that's where your mind is. Put it back on Christ. Your life is in him. You have a future in him. You have a purpose in him. Paul goes on to say, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. If there's one of these areas of following Christ that's frustrating to you, emotionally charged for you, like I said, bring it to God in prayer. Ask God to make it clear to you. We are promised here that God will make it clear to you. If it really matters to him, it's going to be in his word. And once he shows you in this his word why this matters, right, then you ask him for help. You ask him to help me trust you, God. Help me to take steps forward in this area. That's the kind of prayers a mature person has. We realize our weakness. We realize the areas of our life we're stubborn, we're not following God, and we constantly confess it to Him and go forward with the forgiveness and strength He gives us. And finally, Paul says, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. And just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Do we realize how good we have it in this church? How blessed we are to have so many role models around us. Every one of us here can find someone we can relate to. And we can say, you know what, I respect that person. They're kind of like me. And they have some Christ-like virtues in their life. I can watch them to see what it looks like for a person like me to follow Jesus and follow them as they follow Jesus. When I was in my 20s and just starting to have babies and toddlers, I had no clue what I was doing. What do I even do with these kids? How do I raise them in Christ and to know God and His Word after they get baptized? I started looking at people in their 40s, Christians. How are they doing it? Befriended them, ask them questions, just watch them. That's what it looks like to pick out a model, to follow them as they follow Christ. And many of you are ready to be those kind of models, examples for other people. So all that's left now is to step up to the mound. You got life in front of you, all of you. Throw the next pitch. Focus on Christ as you do it. He's calling the shots. He's telling you what's important, what to prioritize right now in your life, and the blessings that come from that. It's worth it, because you're doing it for the one who went all in for you, your Savior Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to Emmanuel's Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Emmanuel, you can follow us on Facebook or visit us at imluth.org. That's immluth.org. Have a great day.